We're glad that you are with us today, whoever and wherever you are at this moment. We want you to know that you are welcome here, regardless of your age, abilities, the color of your skin, or wherever you were born, regardless of whom you love, how you identify yourself, whatever your spiritual practices may be, or if you have none. We are glad that you are with us this morning. I encourage you to check the announcements in your order of service about find out what else is happening this week and to join us in person or virtual coffee hour at 11:30, when we will visit with each other and talk about today's service. If this is your first time with us and you don't have an order of service, and you'd like to know more about us, don't hesitate to get in touch with our office, our congregational administrator. Please fill out a newcomer's form so that we know that you were here and can answer questions that you might have. Remember to put your phone on airplane mode or turn it off, please. Masks are not required at this time, but encouraged. And join us after service for group soup. We'd like to say at this time that one of our longtime and loved members, Pat Tangeman, wife of our audiovisual expert, Rick Tangeman, has passed away. Our thoughts are with Rick and his family.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm John Foley.
Still waiting for the... Okay, all good? Hi, good morning. I'm John Bowling. I'm the director of the choristers here. And this is our annual spring chorister service where we get to do a lot of music for you. But I also want to start by introducing two special guests. And I'm going to start with our guest speaker, soloist, musician, and kind of all-around inspiration for this service. And that's Dero Farrar. Dero is the director of music over at First Unitarian Church, and he's been there since 2016 now. He's also the second-term president of the Association for UU Music Ministries. He's the artistic director for Bridging Voices, a queer, trans, and allied youth choir. And he's also currently the music director for Portland Center Stage show Choir Boy, that's making a big splash in town. So, among many other things, but we'll stop there for now. Dero is also, I get to work with him at First Church where I direct one of the other choirs there. And kind of the inspiration for this service started, Dero started what's called the Spirit Choir at the church, singing a lot of gospel music, which is kind of a new form for us, a new genre that we had to kind of get our feet wet in, and with his guidance have started to create a lot of glorious music in that tradition. And so I thought it would be really nice to get to collaborate with him and share not only the music, but some of Dero's thoughts and his ideas around bringing this music into UU churches. So we'll get to that later. Welcome, Dero.
Yes.
We also have a guest soloist from First Church. This is Theo Harper. He's there at First Unitarian Church of Portland.
I'm holding on to my dreams.
Lighting our chalice today will be Doro Farrar. As we light the chalice, it reminds us how much diversity enriches our lives. Did it go out? It was lit, honest. Thank you. We always try and have a challenge for our guests. Please read with me. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious.
Let us open our hearts to love one another.
Good morning. I invite you to read with me the words of Naima Penniman from Being Human. I wonder if the sun debates some more dawn some mornings, not wanting to rise out of bed from under the dawn feather horizon. If the sky grows tired of being everywhere at once, adapting to the mood swings of the weather. If clouds drift off, trying to hold themselves together, make deals with gravity to loiter a little longer. I wonder if rain is scared of falling, if it has trouble letting go. If snowflakes get sick of being perfect all the time, each one trying to be one of a kind. I wonder if stars wish upon themselves before they die, if they need to teach their young how to shine. I wonder if shadows long to just for once feel the sun, if they get lost in the shuffle, not knowing where they're from. I wonder if sunrise and sunset respect each other, even though they've never met. If volcanoes get stressed, if storms have regrets, if compost believes in life after death. I wonder if breath ever thinks of suicide, if the wind just wants to sit still sometimes and watch the world pass by. If smoke was born knowing how to rise, if rainbows get shy backstage, not sure if their colors match right. I wonder if lightning sets an alarm clock to know when to crack, if rivers ever stop and think of turning back, if streams meet the wrong sea and their whole lives run off track. I wonder if the snow wants to be black, if the soil thinks she's too dark, if butterflies want to cover up their marks, if rocks are self-conscious of their weight, if mountains are insecure of their strength. I wonder if waves get discouraged, crawling up the sand only to be pulled back again to where they began, if land feels stepped upon, if sand feels insignificant, if trees need to question their lovers to know where they stand, if branches waver at the crossroads, unsure of which way to grow, if leaves understand they're replaceable and still dance when the wind blows. I wonder where the moon goes when she is in hiding. I want to find her there and watch the ocean spin from a distance. Listen to her stir in her sleep, effort give way to existence.
Here's a simple song, y'all, for when the troubles seem like they just won't go away. Friends let you down. Things get bounced around. Well, here's a little lullaby we like to sing. It goes a little like this. Come on, listen.
Rousing. Now is the time for all ages, and a story will be read by Christine Leffler. Oh, I should say, there is no RE today. There's no room for children to come up here unless you want to sit on the floor. And we will sing afterward, but you're not leaving.
Okay, this is my first time to operate a mic, a book, and a clicker. Let's see how it goes. Change Things by the amazing Amanda Gorman. I can hear change humming in its loudest, proudest song. I don't fear change coming, and so I sing along. I scream with the skies of red and blue streamers. I dream with the cries of tried and true dreamers. I'm a chant that rises and rings. There's a hope where my change sings. Though some won't understand it, those windmills of mysteries, I sing with all the planet and its hills of histories. I hum with 100 hearts, each of us lifting a hand. I use my strengths and my smarts, take a knee to make a stand. I'm bright as the light each day brings. There is love where my change sings. I show others tolerance, though it may take some courage. I don't make a taller fence, but fight to build a better bridge. I talk not only of distances, from where and how we came. I also walk our differences to show we are the same. I'm a movement that roars and springs. There's a wave where my change sings. Change sings where? There, inside me, because I'm the change I want to see. As I grow, it grows like seeds. I'm just what the world needs. I'm the voice where freedom rings. You're the love your bright heart brings. We are the wave starting to spring, for we are the change we sing. We are what the world is becoming, and we know it won't be long. We all hear change strumming. Won't you sing along?
Thank you, Christine. That's a lovely book. And I'm just thinking, we can't sing the children out because we say, as you go, and you're not. So we won't sing it. This is the time when we consider what Woof means to each of us. Perhaps you're new and haven't yet bonded, but would like to support our congregation. Or maybe you've been here long enough to realize how important what we do is and want to support our efforts. Or maybe you are an old timer and appreciate what others have done to create such a welcoming community and thus support our work. During the musical interlude, please consider the gifts that you have to offer our community, whether it is financial support or the special gift of your time and talent. Know that we are grateful for your offering. Our greeters will pass the baskets at this time. Thank you for your gifts. Please read with me. Let us be grateful when we are able to give. We do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. Let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. There is so much happiness in the world. Goodness, love, and beauty grow within and all around us. Together here, we create a circle of celebration, deep enough to hold the joy in our lives. There's so much pain in this world. Each of us knows loss and suffering. Together here, we create a circle of compassion, wide enough to hold all the sorrow in our lives. We will now have a moment of silent reflection. When the music begins, please come forward if you feel so moved and place a stone in the bowl of water. The water is the community of compassion that bears all the sorrows. The water is the community of celebration that shares all the joys. If you do come up front, please approach down this aisle and up that aisle. To begin, our minister, Tracy Springberry, will put a stone in for the loss of Pat Tangeman and memory helping with her family. Him. Whatever.
Let's sing another hymn together. This is May I Be Light.
Oh,
As we share in moments of silence for prayer, meditation, or reflection, as may be your tradition, let us consider the words from Khalil Gibran. Solitude is a silent storm that breaks down all our dead branches, yet it sends our living roots deeper into living heart in the living earth. And bring to mind those you wish to join us today. We'll have a few moments of silence.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts always be aligned with that greatest love from which we draw our strength and our liberation. Amen. Good morning. I bring you greetings from your kindred neighbors up the road at the First Unitarian Church in downtown, where I serve as the director of the music ministry there. I was delighted to receive an invitation from my colleague John Bowling and the Reverend Tracy Springberry to be with you this morning. I so long for more local collaborations like these. I so long for a time when those of us at the so-called Cathedral Church understand ourselves as neighbors and partners more than ivory tower elites. As for now, as for today, I pray our time together will be a period of mutual discovery and personal expansion. And just quickly, I want to note how delighted I am to hear and see the words of Amanda Gorman. Amanda was a student at the time that I was a teacher at New Road School in Santa Monica, California. And while she was never in my class, she felt, and we all felt, that the creative writing team there was not big enough for what it is that she does. And so she and I often collaborated on concerts where our music and her poetry merged. And so I'm delighted to see where her life has become. You know, last week I was mentioning to some of my own choristers that I'd be here this morning, told them a little of what I hoped to talk about. And one of them surprised me with the question, well, how many black music directors are there in Unitarian Universalist churches? There are somewhere between 800 and 1,000 UU churches in North America, depending on whose data you most believe. And a quick finger count in that moment yielded a mere half dozen or so names. Now, there is a handful of other people who are black music leaders in other ways, but there are very few who lead these music ministries in our congregations. Unitarian Universalism has always had a tense relationship with blackness. It used to be that white Unitarians and Universalists had difficulty tolerating black bodies in their worship spaces. And many Unitarians especially, and Unitarian ministers, claimed ownership of black enslaved people and supported the wrong side of the Civil War. I will never forget being in Baltimore in the spring of 2017 for the annual retreat of Unitarian Universalist Religious Professionals of Color. While there, we were offered a tour of the First Unitarian Church of Baltimore. Originally called the First Independent Church of Baltimore, it was erected in 1818, nearly half a century before slavery was abolished in the state of Maryland. And it is said to be the first church in the nation erected specifically for Unitarians. One of the features of this building, designed by French-American architect Maximilien Godefroy, is a special balcony above the organ and choir loft that overlooked the sanctuary from behind. This was specially designed such that the parishioners could have a place to put their enslaved chauffeurs, valets, and other servants. The third-story design allowed for seated black congregants in the balcony to see the chancel without ever being seen by the white congregants below. This Negro gallery is now walled off behind the church's pipe organ, but is otherwise intact. When I visited, I felt an incredible amount of power sitting in those original wooden pews with several of my black colleagues. From that seated position in a walled-off balcony behind the pipe organ of an old, dusty church, I learned more about who I am in the face of this nation's history and identity. I learned more about my place in the story of Unitarian Universalism. This is a picture I snapped of the Negro Gallery while I was there that day. The day after this tour, we all had a scheduled conversation with Reverend Peter Morales, who was the president of the Unitarian Universalist Association at that time. That spring of 2017 conversation sparked the events that led to Peter's sudden resignation, the renewed commitment to supporting black lives of Unitarian Universalism, and many of the conversations we are still having today about racism and privilege within this faith. The Baltimore Church's Negro Gallery was built in the early 19th century, but even since then, we can read through the brilliant and important scholarship and work of Reverend Mark Morrison Reed about black Unitarian ministers like Reverend Egbert Ethelred Brown in Harlem, who struggled in the early part of the 20th century to garner sufficient support from the American Unitarian Association to allow black congregants to thrive, to allow black congregations, that is, to thrive. We can also look back at the UUA's black empowerment controversy of the late 1960s. Here, in response to the growing racial and civil rights tension of the time, and after a considerable amount of jerking around by the UUA, the 1968 General Assembly, in the wake of the murder of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., voted overwhelmingly to fund a Black Affairs Council at $1 million. Due to a lack of transparency about the financial health of the UUA, an unfortunate cultural norm for Unitarian Universalists even today, no one knew that the association was in dire straits. So instead of holding to its commitments to fund the resolution, the UUA board reintroduced the initiative the following year in Boston. When it failed to reach a vote because of disagreements over agenda placement, hundreds of black UUs, hundreds of UU youth, and hundreds of allied white UUs left the assembly and gathered in rage and in mourning at the nearby Arlington Street Church. The assembly reunified the following day and won full funding. However, missteps continued from the UUA, leading the Black Affairs Council to disaffiliate from the UUA and eventually dissolved. As far as I know as of right now, the UUA has never fulfilled any of the promised payments. One final example. We can also stretch our memory back to the 1993 General Assembly in Charlotte. Appallingly, the planning committee thought it would be a good idea to plan a Thomas Jefferson Ball, at which attendees would be encouraged to dress in turn of the 19th century attire. Black delegates, appropriately rhetorized, well, should we show up in rags and chains to suit the theme? After a too short period of discussion and debate, it was decided that the ball would continue as planned, and people who wanted to go could, and those who preferred to skip it could. I tell you, Unitarian Universalism has always had a tense relationship with blackness. And we have somehow now arrived at a time when most white Unitarian Universalists are delighted to see black bodies and faces in these sanctuaries, but still hold a stark, however subconscious, intolerance for black expression and black theology. It is like so many Unitarian Universalist habits in this way. We have a well-patterned tendency of welcoming all the nice, gentle, affirming, and comfortable ideas we are introduced to, and rejecting all of the challenging, convicting, difficult, and uncomfortable ones. We know, at least fundamentally, that if blackness is fully welcomed, many of whiteness's well-meaning bad habits will be exposed, interrogated, and perhaps eliminated. White American Universalism has somehow tricked us into believing we come to church to remember that we are already saved, not to learn that there is salvation yet to seek. This is perhaps why black folks still sing Wade in the Water. It's a spiritual that comes to us from the story of Exodus 14, about God miraculously dividing the waters of the Red Sea to secure dry passage for the Israelites. You'll remember, at least some of you will, though, that Egypt's Pharaoh sent his army into that bed of the Red Sea after them, and God released the walls of the water upon them, drowning every single soldier. Wade in the Water is widely believed to have been code to enslaved Africans who were trying to escape. The theory has been that crossing the rivers and ponds would help end the scent trail for the slave catchers' hounds. But black UUs believe that God, however it is that God exists in our imaginations and in our lives, is still troubling the waters today. And our commitment, our faithfulness, leads us to wade, trusting that whatever is on the other side is at least a little closer to universal liberation. In each of the examples I've given so far, it has been black UUs who have disrupted the status quo. It has been black UUs whose wading has troubled the waters and brought this faith closer to freedom.
We've been troubled the world.
I understand that the theme here for this month is resistance. And that feels exactly right for telling the stories of some black UUs who have repeatedly engaged in work toward the liberation of Unitarian Universalism, despite the faith's routine denial of our right to take up space and to shape space and to redefine space here where we have been so aggressively, if superficially, welcomed. Resistance is what is required because, and I speak from experience here, there is no measure of showing up as my full black self in a Unitarian Universalist space that is not met with the oppression of norms. And things that often feel like ordinary, run-of-the-mill UU tools for business as usual have been weaponized against me for the sake of keeping me quiet or putting me in my place. I'm talking about covenants. I'm talking about Robert's Rules of Order and policy-based governance. I'm talking about the democratic process and the limits of second-wave feminism. These things and more, and all of which should be helpful, healthy things, are things I have at times experienced or witnessed as methods for silencing marginalized voices, for preferencing perspectives, and for promoting majority dominance. But black liberation theology, which heavily influences our approach to Unitarian Universalist theology and theological expression, is rooted in passages like that of Isaiah 54, where we are encouraged by the idea that our faithfulness and commitment to justice, wholeness, and liberation will secure for us an eventual victory, where snares or traps or bureaucratic bull shall not succeed. Like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said in his prophetic mountaintop speech, "I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land." The scripture reads, "No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper, and you shall disprove every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of God and their vindication from God."
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
We will keep.
of the arrows or the snares sent by your enemies. If you believe it, say, ooh, yeah. I want you to know it won't work. There just ain't one.
There just ain't one.
By now you may be thinking, well, Dereau, you've said a lot of words this morning. Some of them have made me think. Some of them have made me annoyed. In any case, what does any of this have to do with music? Well, perhaps I am biased toward the art form, but I think music holds at least one of the keys toward our liberation. Did not for at least one of you wade in the water with some context inspire you to become a holy troublemaker? Did not, for at least one of you, hold on, give you strength or energy to endure perhaps one more day? Did not, for at least one of you, no weapon help to bolster your faith or sharpen your confidence? And black music, if handled respectfully and not given into our colonizer tendencies, has the power to open hearts and change the course of the world. But don't fall into that trap of being mostly white people who are magnetized to the rhythms and joy of this music while missing the point. The message, the theology, is rich and important and will make you a better Unitarian Universalist. We changed some of the words for you, for those of you who are still somehow particularly sensitive to language, but we have not changed any of the messages. No one here cares about whether or not you believe in God. But don't let your hatred of God, or your dismissal of God, or your intolerance of God make you miss out on a blessing for you or for this community. If you leave this morning with nothing else, I hope you will take with you this. Blackness. Black expression and creativity. Black faces and bodies. Black theologies and perspectives. Black songs and stories are absolutely vital to the success and longevity of Unitarian Universalism. Without them, we would not be where we are. If we continue to oppose and deny them, we will not go much further. Faith, whether that's what you call it or not, and hope and love got us this far. Faith and hope and love will lead us home. What is your commitment? How then will you demonstrate your faithful, hopeful love? I invite you now to join me in prayer. That which is in us and all around us and which constantly draws us to our holiest selves, we aim for our experiences to be removed from the triteness of music as mere entertainment and given over to the profound depth of music as that which might direct our hearts towards tenderness and our minds toward expansiveness. We aim for our understanding of hospitality to be more about welcoming the stranger as influencer and equal, and less about conforming others to our ideals. We hope for forgiveness for all the ways we've fallen short, and aim for reconciliation, salvation, and liberation in our future living. This and all things we pray through an all-encompassing, all-sustaining love that can only be powered in community.
Amen.
You're all the love that we need.
through love, with love, in love, in the unity of our holy common faith, we leave this place claiming the victory that has been set before us by our commitments, forever singing and forever proclaiming the truth of love that makes us free. Go in peace. Amen.
Lifting as we fly, up to the higher good ground, the land of health has found. Lifting as we climb, we've got our footing now, we won't be turned around. Lifting as we climb, up, up, so left behind. Hands high, eyes on fire, we're lifting as we fly.